Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, we're continuing 7th canto, chapter 12, verse number 15. Agno Gurav Atmani Cha Sarva Bhuteshu Adhoksajam Bhutai Swa Dharma Bhi Pashyai Pravishtam Pravishtavat Agno Guravatmani Cha Sarva Bhuteshwaroksajam Bhutai Swada Dhamma Bipashed Apravishtam Pravishtavat Agno Guravatmani Cha Sarva Bhuteshwaroksajam Bhutai Swadama Bipashed Apravishtam Pravishtavat Agno Guravatmani Cha Sarva Bhuteshwaroksajam Bhutai Swadama Bipashed Apravishtam Pravishtavat Agno in the fire Guru in the spiritual master Atmani in oneself Cha also Sarva Bhuteshu in every living entity Adoksajam the Supreme Personality of Godhead who cannot be seen or perceived with the material eyes or other material senses. Bhutai with all living entities. Swadhamabhi along with his lordship's paraphernalia. Pashyet one should see. Apravishtam, not entered. Pravishtavat, also entered. Wow. Okay, translation. One should realize that in the fire, in the spiritual master, in oneself, and in all living entities, in all circumstances and conditions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has simultaneously entered and not entered. He is situated externally and internally as the full controller of everything. That is Achincha. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. These purports are most important. Prabhupada said anyone can translate, but the purports are his personal ecstasies. And that they're offenseless chanting. So we want to come to the point of offenseless chanting. The more we read the purports, the more we will know what that's all about. Realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's omnipresence is the perfect realization of the absolute truth to be attained through the study of the Vedic literatures. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 535, Andantarastat Paramanu Chayantarastam. The Lord is situated within the universe and within the heart of every living entity and also within the atom. We should understand that whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, He is present with all the paraphernalia, including His name, form, associates, and servants. The living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus one should understand that since the Supreme Lord has entered the atom, the living entities are also there. One must accept the inconceivable quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for no one can understand from the material point of view how the Lord is all-pervasive and yet is situated in His own abode, Goloka Vrindavan. This realization is possible if one strictly follows the regulated principles of ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Srila Madhvacharya says in this regard, apavishta sarvagata pravishtas tanu rupava evam dvirupo bhagavan harir eko janardana. Supreme Personality of Godhead, as in His original form, has not entered everything apavishta, but His impersonal form He has entered pravishta. Thus He has entered and not entered simultaneously. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, where the Lord says, what does He say? Mayatatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastita. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. The Lord can defy Himself. Thus there is a variety of unity, ekatvam, bahutvam. Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamiha Tadati Swapadantika. Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam cha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Nama. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satana Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo 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 Maha Varanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tashe Namaha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya. And that could go on and on and on, glorifying all devotees and all the previous acharyas and all the different everything, incarnations. But everything's actually included in the Vandeham, Shri Guru, Shri Guru and all that. So Achincha Beda Beda Tattva. Lord Chaitanya, you know, studied all the sampradayas, four main sampradayas, and he of the Vaishnava sampradaya. And then he perfected, he took something essential from each one, two things, and then he made this Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, which brings it all together. This verse 9.4 in the Bhagavad Gita is about Achincha Beda Beda Tattva. This sloka is also, it's all pervasive. The more we read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, when we find it everywhere. So materialists cannot accept Krishna at all. That he's inside, he's outside, he's the biggest, he's the smallest, he's the oldest, he's the youngest. How can any, that can't be in the material world. Can't have that kind of stuff. But for Krishna, it makes perfect sense. And Jiva Goswami said, and Prabhupada mentioned it here, that without accepting the inconceivable potencies of the Lord, we can never be gained, you know, Krishna's association. Because Krishna gives realization according to how much we can accept that and just realize, you know, we should be serving Krishna. Can't understand him according to mundane, you know, like scientists, they want to put everything in a box. It has this size, it has this weight, it has this quality, something. But Krishna has everything. He's the lightest, he can be the heaviest, even in a deity form. There's many stories of deities. I was just telling one yesterday, the Radha Govinda deities. And when they found Radha Govinda, they also found a Vrinda Devi. And so they, when there was danger from the Muslims, they moved them to Radhakund. And that's where we find a Radha Govinda temple in Radhakund. They lived there for some time. But the Muslims finally made their way there, so they moved again to Kamban, quite far away, right on the border of Raj. And again the Muslims finally got, there's also a very big Radha Govinda temple there, where they stayed for some time. So they had to move again. But when they got to the edge of Raj, Vrinda became so heavy they couldn't move her. She didn't want to leave Raj, so they put her back in the temple, the original, and took Radha Govinda in a very long journey to end up finally in Jaipur, hiding in different villages and carrying on the puja all the time. But the Muslims were finding him everywhere and they had to move again. But when they got to Rajasthan, they were protected. Somehow the Muslims weren't making trouble there. So that's where they still are. I think first they were in Ajmer and then the king wanted them in Jaipur. And there's so much dedicated. At one point the Brajvasis wanted to bring them back to Vrindavan, but they saw how much they're loved in Jaipur, so they let them stay. And there's many stories like that. Deities walking, deities being stationed. Even in Buddhism, one of the main temples in Japan, they tried to move the Buddha, but he became too heavy, they couldn't move. So they kept him there. So they're very beautiful dressed today. Individual personalities dressed in different colors. Gaudiya, Krishna Balaram. Very beautiful. So this inconceivable simultaneously one in difference, unity and diversity. University, I think that's a motto of the Indian government. It's a motto of the Indonesian government, unity and diversity, because they have so many different cultures, so many different religions, and theoretically they're all living together. They are living together. They may not always love each other. And Prabhupada instructed the GBC that every year in Mayapur we should all get together and discuss unity and diversity. And it's becoming more and more necessary in ISKCON, because we're getting more and more countries, more and more languages, more and more cultural, you know, ways of living, ways of doing work and cooperating. So it requires a lot of prayer, especially tolerance. It's a special mercy, actually, because tolerance, patience, all those things are so much necessary in order to become a servant of Krishna. So you can't do that. Even one Christian big preacher in America, various books sell by millions and millions, he said you have to work in the church, otherwise you'll never develop patience and tolerance. So that's a good point, you know. We have to, in order to work together, we have to have a lot of patience and tolerance. And it becomes more and more apparent as time goes on. In order to raise children, in order to train a new devotee, in order to do anything, have a teamwork, you know. It's not, do what I say. Like, sometimes I remember in the old days, temple president, surrender to me, you have to surrender, Prabhu, do it. You have to surrender. But you have to surrender to Krishna. And you have to surrender, everyone has to. The leader has to surrender more than anybody. The so-called leader. Leader is not manager, and the leader are totally different entities. And they need to work together. They don't have to be both. Manager, you know, you can have a manager of the kitchen, you manager of the cleaners, you know, that's required. But manager of the temple, they do the dirty work, you know. They don't have to be preaching, they don't have to be. But the leader has to inspire people, he has to inspire more leaders. And we're all supposed to be leaders, you know, whether we're leading just ourselves or, you know, preaching one-on-one publicly, you know, giving public lectures with millions of followers on Facebook or something. You have to be a leader. You have to know where you're going. Prabhupada would often mention that famous Hindu sloka, Yatma Tatapat. Anybody know that one? Anybody know? You heard it? Yeah. What does it mean? Yeah. Yatta means what you do or something, and mat means opinion. And yatta mat tatapat means whatever you think, whatever I think, it's all good. Nothing matters. All roads lead to Krishna. You know, all paths lead to Krishna. When they don't know Krishna, they'll say God, they'll say the Supreme, they'll say so many things. They don't want to say Krishna because that's too much one-pointed, you know. So, but that's not true. There's an old saying made by some poet, but I heard once it was a Hebrew proverb or something. You know, if you don't know where you're going, then any road is okay. If you don't care where you're going, you can take any road. Right? It will get you there. But where are you going? You don't know. You know, you have to know where you're going. And so we have to know where we are, where we're going, and why we're going, and how to do it. So Prabhupada gave all that very quickly. Bhagavad Gita gives all that very quickly. You know, we want to get to Krishna. We want to get to a humble service attitude for Krishna. And why? Because that's a natural position of the living entity. We're not meant to suffer birth, death, and old age. Nobody wants to. Everybody's selling supposed cures for these things. Birth control, unlimited different kinds of medicine, anti-aging, right? Huge markets. But none of it works for very long. All the disease in your body will be gone when you die, otherwise it's always going to be there. Some people think, just let me die, but you'll have it in the next life, be born with it, if you suicide. So it doesn't work. Prabhupada taught us how to do it. Chant Hare Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. Surrender just means do whatever Krishna wants. Do what Krishna wants. Doesn't mean you actually get freedom. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the regulative principles of freedom. I was with Vishwambar Prabhu in London. He's the most amazing, one of the top amazing book distributors I've ever seen. Just mystical. And he was out in the parking lot of these highway stops in England. And he'd go up to the car and say, put the book in the guy and say, this is a book about freedom. And then he'd say, freedom from birth, death, old age, and disease. They really get bewildered. And he would say, you just give a little donation, you can give very small, he'd say. And then as they were going to look for money, he'd say, now, I want you to be really careful with this book, you know, don't lose it or anything, because it'd be about 20 pounds in the store. And anyway, it's really amazing. And freedom from birth, death, old age, and disease. But the common people, you know, they think regulated principles, you know, my God, that's like torture, prison. How can you live without all those things, or at least one of them that they're especially addicted to, right? How can you live without, you know, whiskey or meat? When I stopped eating meat, I don't know how old I was, 19 or something. My mother was in total panic. So she sent me to the doctor and he checked me out. And he said, well, you're all right. Then he said, you don't eat meat? And the nurse was right there. I said, no. He went, maybe you can live, he said. That's how it was when Prabhupada came to America. You know, it was considered very dangerous to be a vegetarian. You know, they always had stories of someone starving to death and stuff. You know, because the meat people, they're still going at it, but they're advertising so much. Anyway, Krishna can help us. So this inconceivable potency means you don't understand Krishna with your mind. It is way beyond the mind. People have made up so many superheroes from time immemorial. Nothing comes close to Krishna. Nobody ever thought of that, you know. Krishna was super baby, he was super everything, you know. No matter, it didn't matter what his age was. He didn't need to have all kinds of technology to kill big demons. Little baby did it with his bare hands. So that's, for most people, they're Mayavadi, and they know some idea God is great. He's beyond our vision, so they can't think he can be a person. No person can be like that powerful. Even Hiranyakasipu, Ravana, they were great Vedic scholars. Even Indra couldn't accept that that little child, you know, with a lump of fruit in his hand and playing a flute could be the Supreme Personality of God. One time I was distributing books in Tel Aviv, Israel, right in front of the Hard Rock Cafe. And there was a bus stop. So I stopped one Jewish guy. And he grabbed the Krishna book and he looked through the pictures and said, "See, he's a man, he can't be God." Then another one, he was telling me, "You shouldn't try to convert a Jew." And I said, "Well, I'm not trying to convert. I don't even know what, I'd like to know more about Judaism." He said, "My mother always told me it was really bad, but I didn't believe her. And how can I learn more about?" And he was telling me, "You got to go to the yeshiva and you got to surrender and you got to sit and study for 15 hours a day and, you know, for 100 years or something." And there was a young boy and girl watching, and as soon as he left, they said, "Let me see that book." But Krishna, we can't imagine Krishna. We can't think, "Now I know anybody who..." Lord Brahma even said, anyone who says they know Krishna, they don't know anything. They don't know anything about anything. As for me, I don't know anything about you. And Brahma is the most intelligent, learned person in the universe. You know, all the Vedas come from his mouth. And he studied, you know, all the Vedas 3 times. And what did he say? What did he say? I forget the Sanskrit, but you know, of all the best thing for minimizing the bad qualities of Kali Yuga is these syllables: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just chanting the holy name of the Lord. And Krishna, we hear all the time, and especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the knowledge of Krishna as a person is beyond the Vedas. It's not, you know, Krishna has to give it. Tesham Satyata Yuktanam, you know, by someone who's worship me, serving me with love, I give the understanding. Krishna gives it. He can also hide himself. He's very near and he's very far away also. It just depends on us. So he's the real magician. Like the Mayavadis, they can comment on Bhagavad Gita and take Krishna right out of it. They can't see that Krishna is there. Even though it says Bhagavan Uvacha, everybody knows it's Krishna, Arjuna. They say it's not Krishna. Something else. Prabhupada was so angry about that. Krishna says, "Give it to me." They say he didn't mean to give it to him. He meant something else. Then why do they want to study, use Bhagavad Gita, you know, if they don't even believe that Krishna knows what he's talking about, that Krishna knows the difference? Why does Krishna say, If you have Vedabase, you can look it up. How many times he says aham? Right? How many times he say me, me, my? You know. Sometimes one sloka five times. Me, 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 me. If you talk like that, everybody would throw you out. If I was talking like that, I wouldn't last 2 seconds in the sitting up here. Me, 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 me. I am this, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. Right? Doesn't work. It's entertaining. But for Krishna it's true, so it doesn't bother any. It doesn't bother devotees. The Mayavadis just say he doesn't mean that, he means something else. Just like even now there's these magicians, they call them illusionists. They make, like, even the Empire State Building, one guy made it disappear for the audience. All of a sudden, and they couldn't see it. They were sitting there looking at it, and all of a sudden they couldn't see it. Everyone else that wasn't in his audience, they could see it. It was there. And they can make you see something that's not there. And mystic powers, you know, who could do all that? The Rakshasas had all those powers. Never the devotees exhibited those powers. The demons had mystic power, that kind of power. But nowadays, if somebody has a few magic tricks, people think he's God. Although there's hundreds, thousands of magicians who can do very much illusory things, nobody thinks they're God, but every once in a while one says, I'm God. But the God didn't do that. Krishna didn't do that. Krishna is very straight. What you see is what you get. But even when Krishna was present, most people couldn't really, they could see him, but they didn't know what he was. They couldn't understand. If you look in the Krishna book, and when Krishna enters the wrestling arena, then there's the description of all kinds of different people and what they thought they saw. Some are in Mahamaya. Said the foolish people saw another foolish person. Some are in Yogamaya. The Brijbasis saw their child that they loved so much. The young gopis saw that, you know. They didn't see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Maya ones didn't see that either. Kamsa saw death personified. He didn't think that was, you know, he didn't know this is the Supreme Lord. He saw this as his enemy. So everybody sees according to their own consciousness. So we need guidance. We need a spiritual master. We need to study the teachings of the Acharyas. Learn about Krishna from people who know Krishna. Can't imagine Krishna, can't make up what I think Krishna is, or what I think the process is. I'll find my own way. Sometimes people ask, you know, how do I get somewhere? And you tell them and they go somewhere, they take a different route and never get there. So we need help. You need help to find your way around anywhere. Before, people would have maps. Now they're all just walking around like this, you know. Google Maps or something. How to get somewhere, you know. And they work. If you follow it, if it tells you go this way and you go that way, then you don't get there. So the Bhakti Yoga process is very simple, but not so easy. Because to really do it right, we have to let go. We have to let go of the false ego, of the idea that I know what I'm doing. I know. We don't know anything. We should know that we're helpless, we're lost, and we need a guide. We need a spiritual master. We need to read the books constantly. Daily food for the soul, Just like we think we need to eat daily. But we think, I've already read the Bhagavad Gita, I can skip it for a few months or years. Yeah. I've already been to Mangalartik enough times, don't have to go anymore. Can do all that stuff, doesn't work. So, but it's very easy to pray and realize, Krishna, help me, and He will always help. He helps by sending a spiritual master and coming Himself, showing us His abode and giving us all these scriptures. He offers the help, but we have to take it. It's like if we fall in the water and somebody throws a rope, you have to grab the rope. Otherwise, it won't work. All right, so any comments or questions? We have a few minutes. Sunday morning. Sunday morning doesn't make much difference. More people come from outside. So any comments or questions? Yes, sir. They have microphones. How did so many people hear Sukadeva Goswami speaking? They didn't have all this stuff.
How is the Absolute Truth realized through the Varnashram system? I think Srila Prabhupada says at the end of the purport that that's so.
You said what?
Krishna is realized as being within and without through the Varnashram system, through the different brahmanas and ashrams.
I didn't see that in this sloka.
Towards the end of the purport.
The last part of the purport. So. There's two slokas. Mayatatamidam sarvam. By me in this unmanifested form, the entire universe is. Because if the Varnashram system is working, this is maybe you're just because you've been talking about it for a long time and there's been some very good classes, so if the Varnashram system is working, everyone is doing what they're meant to be, that you know, they like to do, they're comfortable, but there are brahmanas teaching, you know, spiritual things, and everybody can do up to their ability, and some can come and just take darshan and pray forever they want, but if they have faith they make progress, and if their work is providing them with what they need to live and they're comfortable, all those things. But ultimately one has to, you know, take up bhakti. That's, but the Varnashram system is also directing people toward that. It's understood basically. When I was in junior high school, they gave us aptitude tests. You know, do you like to use a screwdriver? Do you like to do this? Do you like to, you know, hundreds of questions. And then they would tell you, you should think about this career or that career or something. Trying to understand what kind of, you know, nature you have. That's one, you know, a little bit limited, but that's, you know, otherwise there's astrology and there's just observing people, and, you know, it doesn't matter where you're born, but what you have a propensity for. Then you can be comfortable and you can practice some kind of spiritual development. But there has to be all of them, because you have to be, someone has to be also offering that spiritual development. It's just a structure to make it available. And just by you know, being a good Vaishya or Sudra, you're not going to realize Krishna and Bhakti. You know, you have to have more than that. So we were stressed, Daivi Varnashram. Because Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Chaitanya. And these days, there's hardly any of the pure, you know. Because a Vaishya means agriculture and cow protection. This other kind of businessmen, they're not really Vaishyas, they're Sudras. You know, selling anything and everything, selling tractors, and they're not Vaishya. And people that are just teaching mundane subjects are not exactly Brahmins either. But they're intellectual, they have some qualities of a Brahmin. And even if someone has all the qualities of a Brahmin, if they're not devotees, it doesn't mean anything. And if someone is a devotee, even if he doesn't have the qualities of a Brahmin, you know, that's the essential factor, is to be a devotee. And anyone can be a devotee, but they have to have somebody has to teach them. Sudras can be devotees, chandalas can become. They don't have to go through all the ashram or varnas. Most people need to go through the brahmacharis, you know, by grihastha, and then finally. But some can go right to sannyas. Does that make sense? And Prabhupada, at the last few months of his life, he was talking so much about varnashram. And Abhiram was with him all the time. And he said there was a few of them there. And he doesn't remember who asked, but somebody said, Prabhupada, what do you mean by varnashram? Prabhupada said, I will go to Gita Nagari, that's our farmland in America, and I will stay there and teach them to live off the land. Of course, he didn't get a chance to go there. So I started calling it barn ashram. Yudhisthira lived in the cow barn when he was emperor. Slept in the cow barn. And he preached cow protection to his brothers. And in the Mahabharata Bhishma teachings, that the biggest section is about cow protection. The answer is very, very long, the discussion that Bhishma gave. That's Brahminical culture, cow protection and Brahmanical protection. So Hiranyakasipu immediately attacked that. The British attacked that. Demonized the cows. Glorified the buffalo. They did all that. As a scientific plot to be able to control the Indian population. All right? Any comments, Preetu? Pundit? You sure? You tired or what? You fasting? Preetu Prabhu was one of the top two or three devotee makers in history of ISKCON. And he trained them very nicely. And so many devotees here are like that in some fields, so we should be very careful to respect everyone. We don't know who people are. You know. Much better to respect everyone than to disrespect even one. Even if someone's not respectable, if you respect them, it's good for you. So. All right, so thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. And please read regularly, daily. any one of Prabhupada's books, he read them, then we should read them also. Hare Krishna.